The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, it's getting quite hot in your neck of the woods, is it not?
It's getting very hot, and there's a lot of speculation. And just before I get into the latest updates on the big coronavirus issue, I just want to appeal to people, please, to be very conscious of where you get your updates and your news about corona. I know that there's a lot of media hype. I know that people are very, very worried, and even the police here are concerned that there may be a lot of fake news, and they keeping out a very, very specific eye for anybody reporting fake news. So please, guys, please only take news and updates from reputable, reliable sources. It's so important because it can have a knock-on effect. It can cause or create a lot of panic and a lot of unnecessary speculation. So let me update you with where we are at the moment.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we have about 58 cases of corona in Israel. And last night, there was the shock announcement coming in from the government and the health ministry about the now mandatory two-week quarantine. Now, this is a process that they're going to try for 2 weeks, and they will evaluate if they continue or what happens after that time is up. So basically, what will happen is Israelis returning from traveling abroad with immediate effect will go into self-quarantine. And any foreign travelers coming in will have a few days to organize themselves. I know a lot of people are concerned. I'm coming, I'm going, I'm here, what do I do? But they will have about 72 hours to, you know, to arrange for where they need to be. If you are still coming, what you will have to do is provide proof that you have somewhere to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. So this is where we are at the moment. If you are in Israel, if you're coming to Israel and will have to go into quarantine and you think you may have symptoms, please call Magin David Adom. Their number's 101. Don't go to the Kopat Cholim. Don't go to the doctor. Go straight to Magin David Adom. They have special units. They will help deal with you. In the last hour, we've heard that Kahol Levan, the Blue and White Party, they will set up an emergency parliamentary committee. They will convene and help administer the state's response to the corona outbreak. So this is what has been interesting is, despite all the election brouhaha and the never-ending conflict with our neighbors, everybody's working together to look at workable solutions. We're working very closely with the Palestinian Authority to help them deal with coronavirus and how it's affecting Palestinians in the territory. And just, you know, while we're on the subject of checking your news sources, several Palestinians were arrested by security forces in the West Bank for fake corona updates via WhatsApp. If you are flying via Turkish Airlines to Israel, they have just announced in the last few minutes that they will be cutting 70% of their flights to Israel. And Latvia Air Baltic, they will be cancelling flights to Israel until the 1st of June. So this is where we're sitting. And as of tomorrow, the train from Ben Gurion to wherever passengers who are arriving and need to take the train from Ben Gurion, they will not be allowed to. That's only for the use of airport workers. And at the moment, half of the airport terminal is closed. So it's really an extraordinary set of events. In some good news, we've had 4 Israelis who have recovered, and we have 2 Israelis that were on the Diamond Princess. They have been released from hospital in Japan, so they're on their way home. But also, somebody today said to me that El Al had cancelled flights. They haven't cancelled flights. They were confused with Arkea and Israel, who have cancelled their overseas flights. The CEO of El Al earlier today saying they're going to operate whatever flights they can, including freight flights. And, you know, they will notify if any flights are cancelled. But at the moment, they're operating as many flights as they can. And this includes flights to Africa.
Rolene, it's a hell of an extreme move to make, given that your infection rate compared to infection rates worldwide is not actually all that bad. How has this news been received in Israel? How are Israelis coping with this?
Well, it's a lot of frustration. You know, Israelis are very much want to travel. We're also a country that's seen an extraordinary amount of tourism over the last couple of years, and this is going to impact the tourism industry quite significantly. We've also heard from the Bank of Israel earlier today, their prediction, and this is just a prediction from Bank of Israel, is that by the end of July we will have recovered from this and that it's not going to impact our economy as much as we think, which I'm hoping is the case. But Israelis, I think, for the moment, are kind of agreeing with the measures taken by the government. You know, we understand that their duty is to protect us, their civilians, and they want to try and contain that we don't have the masses of infections and that this doesn't spread. There are Israeli scientists working round the clock to try and get testing kits out, as well as inoculations. I almost had to use the Hebrew word there because I almost forgot the word for inoculation, Simon. I know you would have helped me.
Chisun.
But I forgot the English word. I mean, no. This is what coronavirus coverage does to you. But this is where we're sitting at the moment.
Wow. Okay. So let's leave corona. No doubt that's going to be an ongoing story for 2 weeks at least, if not more. Tell us about Israel participating in an anti-terror conference in Morocco. I didn't even know Israel got invited to Morocco.
Well, this is yet again another example of how ties are significantly warming up between Jerusalem and Arab countries. And I say Jerusalem with intent because Jerusalem is our capital, but of course it means the whole of Israel. And this past week, Israeli officials, they participated in an anti-terrorism conference, this time in Morocco. And Morocco's kind of been making the headlines over the last couple of months. There was the talk that Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, he was in Morocco a little while ago. He spoke about, you know, the warming of ties, recognizing Israel, you know, what this could mean for the region. And it looks like some of his words worked. We've seen also the King of Morocco is very, very fond of his Jewish community. A lot of Jewish heritage sites in Morocco as well being given new life, which is really phenomenal to see. You know, there's a lot of us who have our roots in Morocco, but while we don't know who the official was that participated in this conference, we do know that this conference dealt with issues like counter-terror, how illicit finance groups work, and also they spoke about the threat posed by Al-Qaeda and affiliates. Now, Al-Qaeda for us has kind of dropped off the radar over the last couple of years. We've been speaking about ISIS and, of course, you know, our neighborhood terror groups like Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Hamas, but it's very interesting to know and alarming to note that Al-Qaeda is still very much on the radar, especially in North Africa, and this was largely what this conference was about.
Pretty remarkable and very positive to see that it was so public. You know, normally the Israelis meet behind closed doors somewhere surreptitiously. This seemed to be very out in the open that Israel was there, and that can only be a good thing.
It's fantastic. So, you know, long may this carry on, the ties between Israel and our regional family carry on warming up. It would be really, really wonderful.
Then finally for today, Rolene, you want to talk to us about a Columbia University president who apparently has condemned anti-Semitism, but you're asking the question, is it enough? What precipitated that?
Well, we're very close to, you know, Israel Apartheid Week, which is the annual festival of hatred that winds its way across university campuses around the world. And Columbia University, which is an Ivy League university in New York, has come under a lot of fire over the last few years because of anti-Semitic practices against Jewish students and also against and by faculty within the university, and a lot of alumni groups, student groups have kind of put the pressure on the president to do something about rising anti-Semitism. There was the ordinance signed by President Trump last year that if universities don't do anything significant to stamp out anti-Semitism, they could lose their federal grants. But the president of Columbia University, Lee Bollinger, he issued a statement saying that he's concerned about rising anti-Semitism on the campus and even connected it to the activities of BDS, which is very significant. But we need to see more than that, because so many students and faculty members have come out with cases of being bullied, of being harassed by both students and faculty for being Jewish or identifying as Zionists.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much. And yeah, here's hoping that everything gets back to normal in Israel as soon as possible, because it's really sounding rather overwhelming, actually.
Amen v'amen.